Great to be with you, Pete Jensen, Nick Martin, Nick from the Action Network, of course. This is the NHL Action Network collab for week 7 of the season. Nick, how's it going, man? We're almost at Thanksgiving, right? We're a good time to gauge where things are at in the awards races and stuff like that.
Yeah, for sure. It's going great, and I'm super excited to chat about the awards and state of the league right now.
Absolutely. So let's start with like the Hart Trophy. This is Connor McDavid's award to win, obviously, but it's always an injury away or a trend away from someone emerging. Other than Connor McDavid, which guy's jumping out to you for the Hart has like the best bet out there from a wagering standpoint?
Yeah, for me, you teed it up. Connor McDavid is so far ahead in this race that it's tough to consider adding. I personally think if he plays 75 games, it's already over. So, hey, you know, it's tough on that front. There's guys like Jack Hughes that are starting to pop off and some ongoings around the league. But from a betting standpoint, I actually don't see much value with anyone just because I think McDavid's lead is he's pulled away more than the number actually suggests. If anything, I'd say McDavid at plus 120 is my favorite price.
Is there any love for any of the following? David Pastrnak, I think there's a storyline there with how good the Bruins have been and the fact that they survived all the injuries. That's one thing, like, to me, whether it's Montgomery or even, you know, Charlie McAvoy just came back. He's got 7 points in his first 5 games as of record time. There's Marchand, there's Pastrnak, right? There's Linus Ullmark for the Vezina. Like, there's got to be some kind of Bruins award-centric pick or some sort of a player that maybe at the end of the day ends up winning an award as a result of this unbelievable start for Boston.
Yeah, I think you hit the two that I like there. Ullmark is still around the fifth favorite. He's plus 800 to win the Vezina. His numbers are absolutely crazy right now, and that's sustainable with how well the team has played. And an interesting number I'd pulled on the Vezina winners, they've come from teams averaging 4.33 in the standings by completion of the season. So basically, they always come from incredibly good teams. And I know it's a bit of a chicken and the egg argument because having a goaltender that good always means you place high. But the fact is voters aren't truly factoring in how much a team helps a goaltender. So I think Ullmark's a really interesting angle. And then Montgomery to win the Jack Adams. He's still plus 800. I think that's a really good price with how great they've been. If they finish top 3 in the league, he's going to be nominated for sure.
And we've talked about this storyline before, but the Seattle Kraken with Dave Hackstall, I don't know if they're going to end up making the playoffs, but if they do, it's one of those things that maybe could be a slam dunk for bets out there. So in my top 5 for the Jack Adams Award race, like, you see that I didn't pick Dave Hackstall because I don't really trust the Kraken from here on out, but you differ from me on that standpoint. So where are you looking at that number? And is that something that people should really think heavy about and hammer right now?
I wouldn't necessarily say I think so much differently. I think Seattle are probably, their success is only as sustainable as other teams that are shooting up there. But the fact is that Vegas hasn't factored in, or they've still got Hackstall ranked as the fifth longest price to win the head coach or to win Jack Adams. So it's just simply an odds thing where they're not giving him any respect compared to guys like Lindy Ruff, who've already shot up to plus 300. And you do have to jump the gun early on these. I know last time me and you talked, we talked about Lindy Ruff and we talked about Granato. And the Granato one's looking like a bust as Buffalo fall apart, but you only need one of these at these prices to click for you. And Lindy Ruff is now the overwhelming favorite, which I don't think I'd get involved with him at this price, but it proves the point that you need to jump the gun on these futures. That's kind of the hard part. You need to risk getting yourself into some bad situations for sure.
Is there any play on the Golden Knights? Because if we're talking about these teams that have kind of opened our eyes over the course of the season from a betting lens and are well represented in different awards races, you know, you could look at Bruce Cassidy and the job he's done in his first season. You could look at Jack Eichel, how he's performing at an elite level and leading the forward group. And then you could look at Logan Thompson as the front runner right now, in my opinion, at least for the Rookie of the Year Calder Trophy. Which of those Golden Knights plays do you think could have staying power and maybe finish the job for bettors out there?
I like the Logan Thompson one. The Jack Adams with Bruce Cassidy is interesting as well. He's plus 800, and I think he'll definitely remain firmly in that race. Logan Thompson, one thing I love about it is that he's going to remain their number one goaltender. And I think they're just going to continue to defend really well and be a top team, which is going to leave him in a really good spot to continue succeeding. I think when you compare him to guys like, for example, say Shane Pinto, he's the third favorite in the Calder race right now. I think his success could be a little tougher to sustain. So comparably, he's getting there because he's shot 21.6%. That's been a big part of it. Why he's in the discussion. So something like that might not be a logical narrative to continue moving forward, but something like Logan Thompson dominating behind a really good defense is a storyline that's probably a lot more reasonable, which is why I think with somewhat close betting odds, I like Logan Thompson there. And that's obviously, you know, something we want to continue or evaluate when we're talking about these bets is what's going to be sustainable moving forward, what might be overvalued just because of the raw numbers of how it's gone so far.
Right. And Logan Thompson definitely has staying power because Robin Leonard's out for the whole season. So it's amazing how that's gone in just a month and a half from being the weak point of the roster to being, hey, this team has one of the best goalie tandems in the league with Logan Thompson and Aiden Hill. And it's actually a strength of the team because the defense is still so strong when it is healthy. Same Pacific Division. One thing I really wanted to ask you, and we got a fan question about it. Someone was saying, Erik Karlsson for Norris, question mark. I wonder if he could be in the mix for Norris Trophy or Hart Trophy or something like that, just because of how ridiculous his numbers have been. If it's like Bobby Orr, Coffey type numbers by the end of the year and he's not traded, can he make noise in either of those races because of how statistically dominant he's been relative to his position? Or does the fact that the Sharks are a bad team, we know they're going to be a bad team come season's end, does that work against him in those awards races?
What we've seen is people have already piled on Karlsson. He's down to plus 1,000 to win the Norris, which is the fourth favorite. And I think that's gotten just a little low. He's obviously shot at a crazy percent. His teammates have shot at a crazy percent when he's on the ice, and that's on a bad San Jose team. So I just think the numbers are already kind of, people have already done the overreacting to his start. And I think now it's at a point where you probably safer to cool it and look for someone who might be due for better. So yeah, I don't know. I kind of think he's trended to the point where now he's going to regress and people have already done the overreacting, but I'd be interested to hear kind of what your next long shot Norris pick would be. Cause I think there's some interesting ones out there.
Well, I mentioned one earlier, Charlie McAvoy. It's a guy that I've loved for many years, took a huge step in his career last year in points and power play points with 20 plus. And he's come out of the gates here and joined an already elite Bruins team. He's just joined the party. And if he puts up better than a point per game, he didn't really miss that much time where he's fallen that far behind in the scoring race among defensemen. So if you see if EK65 regresses, which is probably likely to happen, obviously, you still have Makar and Fox producing close to a point per game, but I think the Rasmus Dahlin train has slowed down quite a bit with the poor play of Buffalo as of late. And who knows if the Devils and a Dougie Hamilton could keep this up. So I really wouldn't be surprised at all if the Bruins end up winning the President's Trophy. Like, consider that McAvoy still has enough runway, right, Nick, to close the gap and maybe even join the top three when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I think there's for sure enough runway for all these awards. And that's definitely something you got to keep in mind. Things change. The one I'll throw out there, what do you think about Miro Heiskanen's start? Because he is absolutely dominating. I know voters don't love to look at, you know, underlying metrics, but his are amazing. And they're completely tilting the ice when he's out there.
I'll say this. He's one of the five best defensemen in the NHL. And that is that's select company. I don't just throw that out there. I'm not ignorant in saying that. I mean, I really believe that all around play, Miro Heiskanen is in that range. And I wanted to bring up Dallas as well, because they're another team that's littered in all these markets, right? We mentioned Pete DeBoer for Coach of the Year in shows past. Jake Oettinger near the top of my Vezina conversation at the moment. Jason Robertson for Hart. I mean, that guy, he's probably not going to win the award, but if there's any single player that deserves more recognition for what he's done so far in his NHL career, it's Jason Robertson. So the Dallas Stars are one of those teams that have exceeded expectations. Maybe they don't have the glitz and the glamour to be able to actually win those awards, but they have, you know, four or five different guys that are sprinkled in that are going to be top competitors if that team makes the playoffs. And I think to answer your question, Haskinen probably not going to win it, but I would not be surprised at all. He would deserve to finish top five if he keeps up his current pace.
Yeah, some of these awards would be fun if there's markets for top three for nominated, because he'd be a guy I'd be really interested exactly. there. And DeBoer, we've hit this angle so many times on the Jack Adams, but I continue to think, so he's plus 2,800. For example, that's more than twice as long as Colorado's coach, Jared Bednar, who I don't see the angle where he's going to win it twice as often as DeBoer on a Stars team that's, you know, overachieving. Voters love that narrative. Jared Bednar is just coaching the Stanley Cup champions that have an absolutely insane roster. Same kind of thing with Rod Brendamore. We touched on it earlier in the year. I'm going to keep going back to it because those guys are still way up there in the Jack Adams odds. They're too high, and voters don't like those narratives. Like, is it going to be seen as that impressive for him to lead Colorado to whatever, first in the Central Division, second in the Central Division? I don't think so. So I think, like you said, DeBoer, he's in the mix for the Jack Adams as well if Dallas can continue this kind of run.
I think you almost need that rash of injuries, and then the team still accomplishes what you thought they were going to do all along. Like, where Boston like had the rash of injuries, but they're exceeding our wildest expectations for such a veteran savvy group of players. You know what I'm saying? So that's where it differs from teams like Colorado and Carolina. I completely agree with you that you're not going to probably see those teams and their coaches ultimately win the award this year.
Okay. Well, the awards market's always fun, but let's talk about this week's slate. And Pete, I'm interested to hear what you think about the Calgary Flames. I know it's been a bit of a slow start for them, but could they be due for better results?
Yeah, absolutely. Their metrics are on their side as far as shots on goal per game, top five in the NHL, fewest shots allowed, top five in the NHL, the good list in that category. So yeah, I think that this is a time to buy low on them in fantasy. Huberto, Markstrom, right? Some of these go Mackenzie Weegar. And then in the betting market, it translates as well, where you could buy low on them to win the cup. And again, if they go on a deep run, Nick, they're equipped. And if Huberto gets going at the right time, I mean, they're going to be a dangerous team come April, May, and June.
For sure. We knew they were going to have some growing pains, and they have thus far, but you know, they've been waiting to turn the corner. Their underlying numbers at even strength, they're really strong. They've played the hardest schedule in the league. I looked in their last 11 games, they've played teams averaging around eighth place so far. So the schedule's not been in their favor. And I think they're ready to go on a big run. I think this is the perfect time to buy low on them. That win over Florida seemed like the type of win that could be really galvanizing, I thought. I know it was a hard-fought shootout victory, but you could see both sides were really fighting for it. And yeah, I'm really high on them moving forward. And one thing we'll touch on quick, I think Mike Krzyzewska, if he can be anywhere near like he's seen so far, one of their biggest problems last year was still the depth scoring. They've got nice balanced lines right now. And I think if he can continue to play like this, they can put Huberto with Backlund. Everything's setting up really well for that team.
Right. And having three strong lines is something you look for achieving what you want to achieve and hoisting the Stanley Cup at the end of the day. So the fact that they have Huberto on their third line right now is encouraging from an overall storyline and things like that. But one big matchup on Monday, Nick, is the New Jersey Devils at home against the Edmonton Oilers. This streak just continues to roll on for New Jersey. The winning streak is at 12. I think there's some against the grain appeal with the Oilers tonight. Wanted to hear your thoughts, because the last time these two teams played, the Oilers blew a big third period lead. Devils caught them by surprise. I don't think McDavid and Draisaitl are going to let that happen again. What do you think?
It's an interesting comment, because the Oilers, their defense, of course, is so much worse than the Devils. I think it's going to be a really good game. I like the over. I think the over is a good bet, because whenever you see Edmonton play some of these high-powered teams, just like versus Vegas, typically they're going to give up three goals. And then McDavid and Draisaitl have got to try to outwork that. They've got to try to score four. And I think tonight's spot sets up for that. It's going to be tough for McDavid and Draisaitl to try to outweigh the rest of the flaws on the roster. But I could definitely see it. I think personally attacking those guys player prop-wise is something I really like as well.
Oilers plus 130 on the money line is the number I'm talking about for Monday. And also wanted to mention for Jack Hughes, get in on the Hughes shot props, right, Nick? Because he's quietly not only you know, better than a point per game this season, but as far as the shots on goal per game, quietly top 15 in the NHL. I think his full-fledged breakout, we saw it last year, but it's translating to the props market for Jack Hughes, and it's getting a little overshadowed by some of these other top performers like Jesper Bratt and guys like that for New Jersey.
Yeah, and to touch on tonight's slates, too, I should have chimed in. I think Calgary to win in regulation is an awesome play tonight. They've got Philly, who have completely started to fall apart like we expected. The underlying numbers are always poor. So I think riding out that Flames narrative to get what should be a very attainable win is strong. And I'm going to be looking at them the rest of the week. They play Washington on Friday. I think they could be very, very well priced to win that game. And then I think Saturday versus Carolina, I could even see them finishing up the road trip strong, and that game will probably see them around plus 125, plus 130. And that's a narrative I'll be looking to ride for sure.
And one other note on the Monday slate, big litmus test game for the Boston Bruins, right? Playing at Tampa Bay. What's your pulse on that matchup? Are you getting involved at all from a betting standpoint on the team that is maybe, other than the New Jersey Devils, best team in the NHL so far? Kind of a little surprising, but they're playing the Lightning, who have three straight Eastern Conference titles.
Yeah, I think a good play on that game is actually the under six. The way they're both still elite defensive teams, I think everyone's going to be ready for this game. They're going to play at a high level. And although they both have the capability to score, we know when hockey is more effectively played between two high-level teams, usually it means a lower-scoring game. Typically, coaches will always say, goals come off breakdowns, goals come off mistakes. I don't think these two teams are going to offer up a lot of those tonight. I think the under is a strong angle with how well they've both played defensively. So that'd kind of be where I would be looking there. But I'm really excited to see how that matchup goes.
Are there any other matchups this week that are catching your eye from a betting standpoint? One that I'm looking at is Friday, Kraken at Golden Knights, battle of the two recent expansion teams. Maybe something where people will flock toward Vegas being their usual heavy favorites. But I feel like Seattle has been a breath of fresh air compared to their expansion season. Maybe could take the Golden Knights by surprise. And maybe that's one of those games that could finally give them the respect that they deserve in the betting market. Martin Jones and company.
Yeah, I think if the Kraken around plus 160 in that game, it's going to be a hard fought, well-played contest. And it's one where if they can make it into somewhat of a coin flip, we've seen them control play at a really effective rate. That's a spot I'll be interested in. And then the last game I think I'm going to touch on, because it's going to be fun. I'm expecting a shootout. The Panthers play the Blues on Saturday. I'm hoping to catch that over at 6.5. It might even open at 7. Both of them were two of the most potent offenses in the league last year. They've still got shaky D. I think that's one. They're both due to blow up offensively. They've got two of the league's lowest shooting percentages. That sets up perfect for an over for me. I think it's going to end up being a shootout, probably a really fun game. So that's a matchup that I'm targeting.
And the St. Louis Blues, all of a sudden, a couple shows ago, right, we were talking about the buy low appeal on them, and they've gone out and won 6 games in a row. You see Buchnevich start to produce. You see Kyrou getting back on the score sheet. Ryan O'Reilly, the whole group, and all of a sudden the Blues are looking like a very dangerous team once again in that central division. And then as far as other buy low spots throughout the week, are you seeing anything regarding teams like the Ottawa Senators, the Vancouver Canucks, like teams that have been really, really disappointing based on lofty expectations in the preseason? Do you see either or both or neither of those teams kind of balancing out and middling out and improving over the course of the season?
Well, personally, I'm a little low on the Senators, but I think they're very live tonight versus the Sharks. They're a slight underdog. And early in the year, if you had said that Ottawa would be plus 105 versus the Sharks, I think a lot of people would have thought that was an amazing price. And I think now's a good time to get on them, to turn it around to an extent. There's still a lot of offensive talent there, especially compared to the Sharks. So I think it's a good time to get back on the Sens.
So Nick, I also want to look at the Wednesday slate in particular. This is like, we always know that come Thanksgiving, everybody's looking at it as a barometer, right, where you're really gauging where different teams stand in the grand scheme of things. So there's always a lot of pressure on Thanksgiving Eve. I'm looking at the Detroit Red Wings as a team with Tyler Bertuzzi back now. They're playing the Predators. I would expect them in games against middle of the road competition like that, now that they have Bertuzzi back, to really rise to the top. We've seen some big offensive outbursts from this team. So I really like the Red Wings at home against with the good crowd on their side against those Predators who have been very shaky so far this season.
Yeah, I would expect to see Detroit at about minus 130 there. And I think that should be a really strong play. And then another game that is interesting to me, Calgary are at Pittsburgh. I think we'll probably see Calgary as a slight underdog there. They punch up really well as an underdog. So that'll be one from a great Wednesday slate. Should be a fun game to watch. I think a bet on the Flames makes a lot of sense. And then to follow up on that Blues offensive narrative, they play Buffalo. Everyone's been scoring a ton versus Buffalo. That said, St. Louis, I still don't actually trust their defense. I think they're due for some regression in there. Buffalo are going to stabilize to an extent. I think that's a good spot to target a high scoring game as well.
And Tage Thompson revenge narrative, definitely get on the shot prop because he has been money in that regard so far this season. And then we touched on it on the fantasy show a little bit, but don't discount the Arizona Coyotes and what they're going to do for the rest of the season, because they've done a darn good job holding down the fort when a couple of their best players, Nick, have been missing. And then whenever they get, we don't know when Schmaltz is coming back. We don't know when Chychrun's coming back, but it sounds like soon. So if you look at that Wednesday slate, you see them as massive underdogs, most likely to be against the Carolina Hurricanes on the road. Don't be surprised if they take teams by surprise, even the elite teams out there, if they're heavy underdogs in matchups once they get those two guys back.
Yeah, you got to watch betting massive underdogs in the NHL, because Arizona have actually been somewhat profitable this season just because of the times they are winning and the lines are getting around 4-1. Right. So you need to consider that for a bet on Carolina, it seems like a slam dunk, but you need to be winning that bet 80% of the time at the prices they're offering. So that's something to keep in mind when you're betting against the Coyotes with how wild the prices are getting.
One last thing I wanted to mention. So the New York Rangers have some tough matchups this week. They play the LA Kings on Tuesday. It's a very light match, light slate that night, only two games. And then on Saturday, they're playing the Edmonton Oilers. I mean, have you been kind of disappointed by the Rangers at all from a betting lens? It seems like they're dropping way more games than they should be at this point in the season, given their offensive star power. And it's going to be put to the test when they go up against McDavid and Drysdale in a Saturday matinee.
Yeah, for sure. They're a team that obviously has underperformed thus far. They're supposed to be really good. So it's easy to say that from a betting standpoint, they haven't been profitable. I actually think I'll like them in both those games. They're going to be Pick'em versus the Kings tomorrow. I think I'll like them in that spot. And I think I'll probably really like them Saturday, just because I'm low on what I've seen from the Oilers defensively. And we're going to see a big price in that game, probably like plus 120 for New York. So that's one where I'd look for New York to take advantage of that defense. And the Rangers actually have really strong underlying numbers, is the last note I'll wrap with. I know last year their fans said, who cares about those? But now they're pointing them because they're actually really strong.
Right. Last year they were overperforming based on the bad metrics at 5-on-5 shot attempts percentage. And now it's like they're underperforming when the metrics are better. So you would expect that to improve over time. It could make them a very dangerous team if they peak at the right time. So, Nick, thanks again for hopping on. Everybody can catch Nick on Line Change with Michael Leboff. Great podcast over at the Action Network. Have a happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Thanks for listening to the NHL Action Network collab for Week 7. Reminder to check out the Fantasy Show for Week 7 waiver wire pickups. Have a happy Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you on Monday.